Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name's David. I'm the minister here at St Paul's. It's great to have you here this morning on a lovely day. If you'd like to open up the blue sheet in the centre and follow along in the passage, and there's an outline on the left there that you can use if it helps you to follow. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for the opportunity to stop and to consider what the Bible has to say. Please help us to understand, and more than that, give us the will to respond to what your word says. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do you like getting invitations? It's really nice to feel included in something as someone sends you an invitation. We recently received an invitation to the wedding of an old friend of ours, a friend from a previous church. And it was just lovely to get the invitation. It's been years since we've seen her, and it was just great to be included in that special event. Once upon a time, those of us who are old enough to remember will recall that when there was some special event on, whether it be something as formal as a wedding or even just a formal dinner, you would receive an invitation on a card. A special printed card would be sent to you, and you would receive it, and you'll be asked to reply by a certain date. Of course, we do things a bit differently these days, you might have noticed. And so you get your invitation by Facebook these days. Or it might be an SMS you get from a friend, or email with the card attached to the email, so you have to print it off yourself. We were invited to the wedding of a relative last year, and we received the invitation on a DVD. We just received the container with the DVD, we plugged it in, and the couple said, "Come to our wedding." Well, however it comes, invitations are good. Most invitations, that is. And if we get an invitation from someone who is really important, well, that's very special. In this part of the Bible that we're looking at today, and we're looking particularly at that last part in the bottom, the bit that's in bold on your sheet there, Jesus tells the story of an invitation. And it's not just any invitation. It's an invitation that is given by an important and wealthy man to others. So let's look at the story of this invitation. And we see very quickly that the people who are invited in Jesus' story to come along to this banquet that he is preparing, they're actually very wealthy people. We see that in the kind of responses. Someone's just bought a field. That's a pretty major investment. Someone has just bought a 5 yoke of oxen. Okay, they're wealthy people, well-to-do people. Jesus, as he tells the story, of course, he is speaking to important people. So if you go right to the top of the page, the very first verse, up the top of that, it says, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee." Now, Pharisees were very zealous, religious people of Jesus' day. They were people who took the Ten Commandments very, very seriously. They were the religious elite, the people look up to in that society. And the person who's invited Jesus is a prominent Pharisee, an important Pharisee amongst that religious elite. And Jesus, as he comes and he accepts the invitation to this house, no doubt is with many other guests, and many of those themselves would have been other Pharisees that the prominent Pharisee has invited along. And I wonder if you notice in that verse that Jesus was being carefully watched. With all their concern for obedience to every little detail of the law, they want to see whether Jesus obeys or not. They want to see whether he will make any mistakes along the way. Because a lot of these Pharisees actually want to catch Jesus out. They want to bring him down. They're embarrassed by him. Now, Jesus says a number of very challenging things to these Pharisees. So, for example, look at verse 12, the little number 12, about halfway down that page. Listen to what he says. Then Jesus said to his host, the prominent Pharisee, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner," which he's doing right now, of course, "do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they might invite you back, so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, that's a pretty challenging thing that Jesus is suggesting there. To not seek repayment in this world, but to wait until the payment God gives to those who serve him. Now, it's of course that which leads on to Jesus then telling his story about the man who holds a banquet for his friends. And I wonder if you notice that important people have been invited to this banquet in the same way that the Pharisees have been invited to this prominent Pharisee's dinner that Jesus is attending. In the same way that the Pharisees are invited into the kingdom of God. But in Jesus' story, they begin, you notice, making excuses, these guests who are invited to the banquet. One of them has bought a field, and he wants to go out and have a look at his field. Another one has bought 5 yoke of oxen. I don't know how you translate that today. I guess you've bought a brand new John Deere tractor, right? A big one. A big tractor. Another person has just been married. Now, when you hear those excuses at first glance, it seems, they sound reasonable excuses, don't they? But then if you start thinking about them, you realise they're actually false. For example, if you were buying a field, when would you go and check it out? You'd check it out before you buy it. This man's already seen his field. In fact, he's looked at it very closely. He's already put down the money and he's already purchased it. Why does he now need to go and look at it again and avoid the banquet to which he has been invited? The same goes for the oxen. Well, when do you check out the tractor? You check it out before you buy it, of course. You don't check it out afterwards. You've already paid the money for it. You know what you're getting. Certainly that's no excuse for avoiding this invitation to this banquet. And of course the man who's married is married. He's been given his invitation to this banquet quite a long time before this. He's known about the banquet coming. He knew that he would be married at the time. And it's lame right at the last to say, "Oh, sorry, I've just got married." These are weak and transparent excuses. These people simply do not want to come to the banquet. And in the same kind of way, important people refuse God's invitation to come into God's kingdom. Why? Well, it's often because the kingdom of God, the kingdom which Jesus announces to them, that kingdom is just too radical for them. We get a taste of that in the verses that we find here. For example, in the first six verses, verses 1 to 6, right up the top there, Jesus challenges the conventional authorities. He says he is the one who decides what happens on the Sabbath, not the legal experts out there. He demands selfless humility. Right? If we're going to see the kingdom of God, we must humble ourselves if we want to be exalted. His kingdom is one in which we are to be concerned for the poor and the sick and the needy, and be willing not to be repaid for our generosity and our hospitality, but to simply give and wait for the reward of God when God gives it. Now, of course, those who love conventional authority and the power that it brings, like these Pharisees, those who love the places of honour at the dinner table, like these Pharisees, those who prefer to be repaid for their generosity and who like to gather the important around them, like these Pharisees, these are the people who reject the kingdom that Jesus announces, and they reject the invitation. And so in Jesus' story here, the master sends out his servants to invite other people in their place. And who are they? Go back to verse 13. Verse 13, he says, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." Now go down to verse 21. "The servant came back and reported this to his master," that is, that these people refused the invitation. "Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in' who? The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Same people. Here is a man who does exactly as Jesus says. He invites the people into his banqueting hall who cannot repay him. And he wants them to fill his house. And so it is that while these religiously important people reject the invitation, Jesus brings other people into the kingdom. Right at the beginning of the passage, up in those first six verses, he talks about a man with dropsy. Now, I'm no medical expert, but dropsy is a condition, I believe, in which there's fluid build-up in the body. It was a pretty unpleasant condition to have. Jesus welcomes him into the kingdom. In the chapter before this, in chapter 13, we hear about a crippled woman who is made well. We learn in other places about tax collectors who were the social outcasts of the day, being welcomed in by Jesus, and widows who were at the bottom of the social order because they were so poor, being welcomed in. The world, of course, would never do this. It's ridiculous. It's foolish to invite people like this into an important thing like the kingdom of God. But to God, these people are precious. Very precious. And those who refused to come into the kingdom, those who refuse the invitation, well, they will get no taste of this banquet. They will never taste the joys and delights of the kingdom of God. Their day of opportunity has gone. Well, that leads us to our invitation. God invites each one of us into his kingdom. God invites you into his kingdom. Now, you may not be one of the religious elite, but you are invited. Now, the kingdom that Jesus invites you into is a radical kingdom. It's a kingdom in which he teaches us to trust in something as foolish as the cross of Jesus. Teaches us to trust in his death for the forgiveness of our sins, our wrongs. It's a kingdom in which we are called to repent, to turn our lives back over to God. And what will that repentance involve? What will life look like as we embrace it? Well, we see from this passage it will look like a different view of social authorities, where we don't just march in tune with the social fashions of the day, but instead we follow Jesus wherever he may take us, no matter how different what he says is. It's a kingdom in which when we repent, we are called to this self-effacing humility where we put other people in place of ourself. It's a kingdom in which social values are overturned, where the members of the kingdom are concerned for the poor and the sick and the needy. No matter what their religion, no matter what their creed, we are to be concerned and caring for them. That's why we are to be concerned for the people of Haiti in their terrible poverty as they go through this disaster. Now, that is the kind of kingdom that Jesus invites us into. How will you respond to the invitation you've received? Now, of course, many will make excuses, won't they? Some will say, look, I've got to study. I've got to get my qualification first. Once I've got that, then I'll be able to think about it. Some people say, no, I've got to get some money behind me. I've got to get financially established. Once I get financially established, I'll be okay. I remember one young man telling me that. He just got involved in a business. He said he's going to have to put all his effort into his business to make it pay, but it's going to pay off really well when it does work, and then, of course, he'll be able to give lots of money to the church. Some people say, look, I've got to establish my career. Or I've got to find a husband, or I've got to find a wife. I've got to start a family. I've got to look after my family, of course, is the next thing along the line. And I'm busy at work, and at weekends I've got to take the kids to soccer, and I've got to take them off to Nippers, and we've got to go to ballet, and all of those kind of things. Once that season is over, then we'll get involved in the kingdom. And then, of course, we're looking forward to our retirement, and there are things we want to do in our retirement. We want to travel, we want to get involved in certain hobbies and organisations and so on. Once we've got our retirement sorted out, then we'll be ready to think about the invitation that God has given us. But friends, all of those excuses are hollow and empty. You have been invited into the kingdom of God. None of those excuses are enough to refuse the invitation of God. And more than that, we need to realise that to refuse is a serious matter. Because, friends, others will be invited in your place if you keep on refusing. And the people who will be invited are the nobodies, the unimportant, the weak. They will share in the joy and the glory of the kingdom. And you, if you refuse, will be shut out. So I want to ask you, will you receive, will you accept the invitation that God makes to you? If you're a person who wants to know more, I want to encourage you to do that. It's very important that you do so, that you investigate it. The stakes are very high in this invitation. Don't just brush it off and say, look, I'll look into it one day when I get a bit of time. No, start looking into it today. Up on the back near the wall there, there are some copies of the book called The Essential Jesus. Take one of those. There'll be a table outside as you leave. Grab one of them. They're completely free. Take one. It's a copy of the Gospel of Luke. Read it. Meet Jesus for yourself. There are some other leaflets that'll be there as well. Please grab one and take it with you, whatever you think will be helpful. But don't delay. Don't put it off. Investigate. Because if you refuse the invitation, others will be invited in your place. But you might be in a position where you're ready to accept that invitation. You're ready to embrace the kingdom that Jesus is offering you. If that's you, then I want to encourage you to pray a prayer with me. If you open up in your blue sheet inside, on the left side down the bottom, there is a prayer. Let me encourage you just to quietly read through the prayer. And after you've read through, and think to yourself, is this the kind of prayer I want to pray? Now, at the end, I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it out loud and invite you to pray it along with me quietly in your heart. So just have a look at it now and see if this is the kind of prayer you would like to pray. Is that your kind of prayer? Let me pray, and if it is, then pray quietly along in your heart. I'll leave some little pauses so that you can quietly pray it silently in your heart. And then join with me in the Amen at the end. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen.